Detox sommargäst idag är roddaren Viktor Marin.
Hi. Well, that song in particular, has special meaning for me because that's the song when I was a little kid back in 1984. I didn't even hear it. I just saw it on TV on a show called Rock of the 80s back in Mexico City. And it really made an impression to me because I saw these guys with long hair and guitars and jumping around. Flying around, basically. They were flying around on an harness, and they were just having the time of their life. And I was like, whoa, that's really, really cool. How do I do that? How do I get there? And I guess that's the song that triggered everything for me. I was born and raised in Mexico City. My family comes from musicians. I guess that's why I like music. My grandpa had a big orchestra back, I think they started in the 1920s in the south of, no, even before that, probably in the 1910s, in the south of Mexico. They came to Mexico City by orders of the president at that time. And then long story short, that's why I have that in my blood, that I like a lot music. I cannot play a single instrument. I don't know why. My dad can play music. My grandpa and his brothers, they were really big musicians. I am not, but I like music. That's what I like the most. And that's why I have dedicated all my life to music. And as I said, you know, that song kind of triggered everything for me. And then from there, it went to just like to start to like music more and more and more. And what I like was, I don't know, I got more into rock music, definitely. I didn't like to be the kid that, the one, you know, like everybody likes Vanilla Ice. I didn't like Vanilla Ice. I liked Guns N' Roses at that time, and nobody knew who was Guns N' Roses. And I was a weird kid. And then suddenly everybody likes Guns N' Roses, what is cool. But yeah, I don't know. It was just a special song for me, and I wanted to share it with all of you. The song was from Ugly Kid Joe. It's called B.I.P. It talks about basically a lot of the people that is in this music industry, but they should not be, or, you know, they have no reason to be. But that's a different story. But anyway, Ugly Kid Joe to me is one of my favorite bands. It's a misunderstood band, and it's a great band. It's one of the best bands out there with the best players that you can imagine, and one of the greatest singers ever, with Phil Crane, that I consider a close friend of mine and one of my biggest heroes. And through the years, after many, many years, I got to know him, and I got to meet the band. Suddenly touring with another band, got to meet them, and we just became really, really good friends. I just came back from a tour with them in Europe. But also one of the special things with them was that I was such a big fan of them. And when I was in high school, they released an album called Motel California. And I remember I couldn't find it anywhere, in any store or anything. And I remember coming to school, and a friend of mine said, "Oh, yeah, you like that band Ugly Kid Joe, right?" "Yes." "Oh, well, there's this new store that they have that record you're looking for." And I said, "Really?" So I remember got my best friend, I called him and said, like, "I think I found the record." So we went there, we took this bus, took us forever to get there. And then we got to this new record store, and it was like a like whole Disneyland for us. You know, they had like a lot of records that we have never seen, bands that we never heard of. And that's actually that record store. That's the one that changed all my life, because the guy that was there became like a mentor for me. He really looked after me when I was a kid, when there was all these like big heavy metal bands or like heavy stuff. And I would listen to Ugly Kid Joe, or I would listen to Pearl Jam or whatever. And I would listen also to other heavy things. And a lot of people would say, oh, you're a poser because you listen to those bands. And I was like, no, I'm not. I just like music. And as I said, he took care of me. And then he gave me a cassette. He gave me a cassette because at that time I was also into, I started to get into like a band like Dream Theater. That was like all this technical stuff. And he gave me a cassette and said, listen to this. I think you're going to like it. This was probably 1996. And the cassette had in one side had a band called Head or Tails. And on the other band had a band called In Flames. And at that time, they were really underground. And it was this album called The Yesterdays. So I remember I went home and I put it on my Walkman. And then basically that changed my life. So we're back, and I guess you wonder why In Flames, why, what do you do, what is it that you're talking here? Well, what I do for a living, it's I work with music. I work with a couple of different bands, international acts. I tour with them, we go out, we go on the road. I have been doing everything that you can imagine with them, from bringing them coffee, you know, to carrying their suitcases, to try to tune their guitars not in the best way, being band assistant, being production assistant. I'm now currently a tour manager for some of them, so I've been doing everything basically. And one of the first bands basically internationally that I start to work with, or the best band, or the first band that I start to work with was In Flames. They were the ones who took me out of Mexico City. I was working after, as I mentioned, this record store. I started to work at the record store. I worked there for a couple of years, and then I started to meet promoters. Promoters came to the store to leave tickets and flyers. And then we were eventually invited to the shows, and I started to meet bands. And then I started to just talk to the bands out of nowhere. And the promoters would say to me, hey, you can talk good English. And you connect with bands. Would you like to work with us? And I was like, yeah, well, like, why not? I gave it a shot. I thought school was boring. So I left the school because I was just getting so bored at it. I was in college at that time. And then one of the bands I met was in 1999, November of 1999, I met In Flames, the first time in Mexico City, or in Mexico. And we just hit it off. We went to, I remember, they played there with Moonspell. And then the next day, they had a day off, and we went to, I said, you guys want to do something? And they said, we would love to. We went to the Pyramids outside Mexico City. We had a great day. We had a great, great evening. One of the best days of my life. And then we just kept in touch. And then they came back, not even 6 months later. And they came back with a new album. And they played again another show. And we had a great time. And they said to me, why you just don't come on the road with us? And I'm like, yeah, right. At that time, you know, I was working with a promoter there. We were having a lot of shows. We worked with a lot of bands. A lot of underground bands at that time, you know, like Dimmu Borgir or Samael or The Gathering, Dark Tranquillity, you name them. And then one day I was like, well, maybe I should just do what they say. So I called them up, and I came in the December of 2000, came to the U.S. and we did a few little shows in the U.S. with Shadows Fall and with Nevermore. And then the next year, we talk again, and then I joined them on their this big U.S. tour they had together with Slayer and Soulfly. And then after that, I mean, I think we were like for almost 2 months out on the road in the summer. When that tour finished, we went on tour with Dark Tranquillity and Killswitch Engage and Sentence. And and that's basically how it started, how I went, you know, like, and while what I was doing, basically I was carrying drinks. I was helping them with whatever they needed there. There was not much money involved, or maybe not even any money involved at the time. It was just the pleasure of the, I mean, I was just a little kid just having the time of my life, you know, having the ride of my life. I remember picking up a really old cooler that Soulfly threw away that they didn't want it. And I picked it up, and we didn't even have a cooler. And I remember I was, you know, keeping the drinks colder, and everybody was so happy. I would have like cold drinks because it was so warm. You know, it was the summer in the US. And, I was just a happy kid, and that's why I think they had me around for all these years. And as I said, it was just the ride of my life. This is Victor Marin, back at Pirate Rock. And that was Pearl Jam with Corduroy. Pearl Jam is my all-time favorite band. Why is my favorite band? Because I grew up with them since the very beginning. And they have something that they really, really, really makes me, you know, like rage or whatever. They have some really good songs. It's such an amazing band. I'm going to go and see them this summer with Biffen. If anybody knows Biffen, it's my best friend. And hello, Papa Biff, I love you. And, why I played Pearl Jam, besides that, is my favorite band, is because also back in the day when I was in college, I went to see them for the first time ever because they never played Mexico City. So I went to see them in October of 2000 and to Canada. When I came back, I sat down in school and I thought it was just boring school, so I quit school and I started to, to basically go around on rock and roll. And that's what I want to let you know, that, or you maybe are wondering, why am I sitting here at Pirate Rock? How did I made it here? That's because, as you have heard before, the story of how did I get involved with In Flames and etc. Through the years past, we did many tours. We went all over the world a couple of times, and they were getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then I think it was the year 2006 when Come Clarity came out. When we were about to start to tour that record, it just went like boom, you know. It started to go all really big. And we were really busy. We had, I don't know how for how long we toured that year, but we toured a lot, maybe 10 months out of the 12 months of the year. And they said to me at one point, it's like, there's no sense for you to go back to home for two or three days or a week. Even the years, the previous years, I was a lot in and out of Sweden, especially during the summers. And I said, yeah, well, that's right. Maybe I should try to find a place where to stay in Gothenburg. And Biffen said, oh, well, come and stay with me. And we lived together for a year. And that was one of the best years ever. It was like a really, really rock and roll apartment, as rock and roll as you can imagine. There was not much food in the fridge, but there was a lot of drinks, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And as I said, we toured a lot that year. I remember we did a great tour with Sepultura, became good friends to all of us. Which other tour we did? We did a Slayer tour, I remember, at the end of the year. We did a summer, I think we did Sounds of the Underground in the States, festival tour. We did tours with Devil Driver, with Trivium, you name it. And that's, you know, that's basically how I ended in Sweden. Then eventually I, you know, I started to make a life here. I met a girl, and then I got a girlfriend. Then the next thing you know is you move into someone, and or you move together with someone, and then you get married. And then you had to, or before that, okay, you want to keep in here, you have to make things right and get, you know, your papers and et cetera, sort out. And so I did. Then, you know, then got married, then got a wonderful little daughter, and then got divorced, and then I'm still here trying to rock. So, yeah, that's more or less how it went, you know, in a short story. And yeah, well, what else can I say about it? Right. So that was Collective Soul with a song called Jail. And I want to dedicate that song to a good friend of mine, Danko Jones. You might know him. A really sexy guy that comes around and plays some of the greatest rock shows ever. I want to dedicate that song to him because he loves Collective Soul. He loves them so bad. It's been a big, big influence on him. And, you know, just anything for you, Danko. You know, you're my man. And just came back from this weekend. We were in Spain. We were in Madrid doing a festival together with Hardcore Superstar, Buck Cherry, the Temperance Movement, Mammoth from Australia was there too. It was a bunch of bands. And I was there out with Danko Jones. I was working with them this weekend. We had a really, really cool show. You know, it's like Danko Jones it's one of the bands that I continue working with. And it's like a band like no other. There's just, you know, it's just three guys, and they play like if they were like 50. If you never listen to them, go and listen to them. I think everybody in the world should at least own three records of Danko Jones. They're such an amazing band, such great people, some of the best people you will ever know, you will ever work in the rock industry. And what I mean, they're just, as I said, they're just such a great band, and we know each other for a long time now, for I would say 12, 13 years or more than that. We've been working on and off a lot. You know, every year they call and say, "Hey, can you do these shows with us?" And I'm always happy to do it, always, always happy to do it, because it's such great people and it's such a lot of laughs and just a lot of great time. That was a band called Handsome, Swimming. It's that band I got introduced to, actually by Anders Frieden and by Björn Galott from In Flames. One of the tours we did, they basically played it, and I really liked it. And that was one of the best memories I always had of touring, actually, especially with In Flames, was that when we were jumping on the bus going to the next city or whatever, we would always, you know, like, play music, you know, and then we would always play games like, okay, whoever was sitting in there in the front lounge of the bus and would get a whatever it was at that time, it was still CDs or an iPod or a Discman or whatever. And okay, let's play this song. And you had like 3 seconds to guess who it was, you know, and we would be playing songs all the time and guessing and just playing a game. And it was always such a good time. And I guess that song came from one of those games. And I was like, whoa, who's that? And never heard it before. It's actually a record that is so difficult to find. It's actually on the digital platforms. That is really cool because you cannot find the physical thing. I've been trying to find it for years and years. And it was basically from the ashes of that band Helmet. Some of those guys, when they broke up the first time, they went and did that band Handsome. And yeah, as I said, that was some of the best memories. Always go there and play music. And they still do around, you know, when before every show, they go and still play music, you know, to get pumped up. And yeah, it's such a good time. That's actually one of the things that I used to enjoy the most, or I still enjoy the most of touring, you know, because it can be really boring or, you know, really stressing or just, you know, you can be really out of your head because of the things that are going on. And when you came home, you came to the bus or to whatever you're going, and you just sit down and have a drink or a sandwich or whatever, and then you start to play a game like that. It's a lot of fun.
Det här är Pirate Rock.
We're back. This is Victor Marin. I'm still at Pirate Rock. They still letting me talk some, I don't know, some bull... whatever. But yeah, that was Stone Temple Pilots with a cover of Led Zeppelin. Back in the day, they did a tribute to Led Zeppelin, and Stone Temple Pilots were part of it, and Stone Temple Pilots is another of my favorite bands. A really difficult song to get, actually. There's not in any digital platforms, or I hope you put rec to it, because then you will never get it again. But anyhow, then after many years of being working with In Flames and stuff like that, I stopped working with them, and then I just went and got a regular job at a skylift company, and that sucked. I mean, I appreciate the people that had me there, don't get me wrong, but the job sucked. I was so miserable, and I was like, I can't do this. So I went back to rock and roll. I remember right away I went to a band that unfortunately had a short run called All Ends. It was Emma and Tina and Frederick and Peter and Joseph. There was a band that kind of like some of the guys from In Flames put together. And then, you know, all these other guys were playing on the band. And they did pretty good in Japan. We went to Japan a couple of times and et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Then I did some shows with Danko Jones, and I was doing some other bands. I was doing some stuff locally. I was a stage manager at Sweden Rock for a few years too. That was also a lot of fun. I got to work with a lot of big bands. I worked with Journey. That was awesome. I worked with ZZ Top. That was also awesome. I worked with Heaven and Hell, or Black Sabbath, whatever you call them. I remember that was a funny story. I remember when Heaven and Hell played, the sound engineer came back after the show, and we asked him, how was your show? And he said, well, it's really difficult to mix a band like Black Sabbath and 100 dB when Tony Iommi's cabinets were like 110. So that was actually quite funny. Anyway, there wasn't many bands that I got to work in there with. And then back in 2005, we did a tour supporting In Flames did a tour supporting Motorhead in the UK, and that's how I got to meet Motorhead. I met them before, like here and there, you know. I knew Mickey from, you know, like bumping into each other always, you know. He'd been from Gothenburg, and I knew a little bit, you know. I have met Lemmy, you know, ending sitting with him in a couple of hotel lobbies, you know, like in festivals or et cetera. But I mean, I had said hello to him a few times, but he didn't know who I was. And it's not like we were friends, you know, or the same with Phil. But then we did that tour, and I got to meet them a little bit more, and especially I got to meet their crew. their beloved road crew. And the next thing I know is Eddie Rocha gives me a call a couple of years later and says, like, hey, I would like you to come and work with us. And I'm like, doing what? It's like, yeah, we need a road manager. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm not sure about it. And he said, no, you need to do it. And I did. And that actually changed my life. That was a Motorhead with Born to Raise Hell. That's a quite a little bit different version from what you might know. This is from the soundtrack of the movie Airheads. That it's basically Ice-T and Witful Crane from Ugly Kid Joe is in there. This is one of my favorite songs. This is even what has been one of my favorite songs even before I started to work with Motorhead. This song has always had a special meaning to me. And I don't know. It just gets me, you know, like gets into my veins like a drug and just like gets me like, you know, makes me want to like, I don't know, throw the chair out of the window. I started to work with Motorhead. I came as a road manager. Lemmy had his assistant. I was supposed to look after the three guys, you know, going from A to B and coordinated all the stuff. We had a tour manager who was also the production manager. So between me and him, we should do the things. And then eventually I start to look more after Mick and Phil, since they didn't have a personal assistant. What can I say? I was there with them the last 7 years of the life of Motorhead. And don't get me wrong, you know, of all the bands I had to work with, it's been a pleasure and it's been an honor. But these guys did really gave me the time of my life. It was, I might have lost probably a lot of hair with them, and I probably had a lot of headaches, but I would do it again and again and again without thinking about it. It's three different personalities in there, three strong different personalities, and that made that machine go and go and go and go on and on and on. It was such, you know, like when you, if you like this kind of music, if you like this kind of thing, you have your heroes when you're a kid, when you start to grow up, and you have posters on the wall, right? So all my heroes were fans of them. So I got to meet a lot of the people that I really admire because of them, because they were fans of them. And they were actually coming to me and say, hey, can we say hello to Lemmy? Can we say hello to Phil? Can we say hello to Mickey? So I like, you know, you can imagine, you know, whoever you can imagine coming and saying like, hey, oh, that to you, to a little kid from Mexico City. And it's like, oh, the guy that you had on your wall now is talking to you, trying to ask you for a favor. That's cool, right? So, yeah, there you go. Ozzy, the Prince of Darkness, but with a really cool song, one of my favorite songs ever also, one of my favorite records, and yeah, I got to meet Ozzy a few times because of Motorhead. I remember we did, on the last year that Motorhead ever toured, we did a tour in South America with Ozzy and Judas Priest, and I remember I was with Lemmy in the dressing room and Ozzy just pumping and blah, 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 and at that time, Motorhead was about to release their latest record or the last record they ever did. And I guess you have heard that song Heroes. It was still not released. And I remember when Ozzy came that day to the dressing room, I think it was in Curitiba in Brazil. Lemmy grabbed my headphones and gave them to Ozzy and played him that song. And Ozzy was like, oh, that's cool. That's cool, Lem. That's really fucking cool, Lem. So, yeah, it's a little cool memory of that, to see Ozzy in there, you know, like listening to a version of Heroes from David Bowie from Motorhead and liking it. But, yeah, so we went all over the world with Motorhead for many, many years. You know, we had some really amazing shows. We toured with many bands. And also, when we were off traveling around, a thing that we always used to do was to look for a joke store, because the master of comedy, Finn Campbell, needed, you know, to fill his vaults of whatever he had on. So it was always, you know, like I got to know some of the best joke stores around the world. I mean, that's funny, right? It's like, yeah, well, you should be like knowing where are the best bars in the world. That I did too. But yeah, who could have in their, you know, in their memory, like where are the best joke stores around the world? Jello Cake. Jello Cake is a band that I bet you have never heard in your life, and it's probably, or I hope it can be your favorite new band, because it's my favorite new band. Jello Cake is a band that is Whitful Crane from Ugly Kid Joe on vocals, and Jeff from a band called Dallas Frasca from Australia, and Toshi, one of the greatest last punk rockers ever alive. Zach, that plays on drums on Ugly Kid Joe, it's a new band they did. I was out on tour with them, and they put it together, and they're actually opening the shows for Ugly Kid Joe, and it's a great band. Hopefully they release this stuff soon on some of the platforms, and because the only thing to get it was either you bought a cassette on the show or you bought a download card. So I hope you enjoyed it. It's, I mean, this song is a little bit sad because it reminds me of a lot of, well, you know, sad things, but of the end of Motorhead, you know. Actually, Whitfield was with me at the funeral. And I never really had talked about it, but it was, if put it like this, if it would have been me when I was 15 years old, sitting on that chapel, under that roof, you name who was in there. Ozzy was there with his wife. Gene Simmons was there with his wife. All the guys from Guns N' Roses were there. The guys from Metallica, people from Fear Factory, people from Sepultura. I mean, you name it. People from Black Sabbath was in there. Seriously, you know, I mean, the list can go on and on and on. But actually, there's one funny thing that I can mention about it. I remember I came to the chapel. There was a lot of people. I just find a place where to sit down, and next to me was Ron Jeremy. I don't know if you know who's Ron Jeremy, but probably of you have seen him naked around a lot. And he was just like, I don't know if he's deaf or something, but he was asking me all the time, what did he said? What did he say? So I had to tell him, well, he said that this and that. So I thought it was, you know, a funny thing to add. There was nothing funny about it, actually, of that place. We did the service at this chapel, and after that we went to Lemmy's beloved place, the Rainbow, where it was like a private gathering for friends and family. And when I'm talking about family, Lemmy didn't have much family. He still has his son, Paul. But his family was his crew, his road crew. And besides losing your leader, your boss, or whoever you want to call it, we lose a whole family because we were really tight. We were, most of all, we were all together for so many years. And it was just basically, what are the chances that we're always going to at the same place at the same time again? Because we all have different lives, right? We all live in different parts of the world. So besides losing, as I said, your boss, your leader, your Captain Hook, we lost a complete family, and that was really sad. So it was the last time that we were all together, and it was really hard to say goodbye. And we did this gathering, and also a lot of people was there. I remember Dave Grohl was there, and I remember he came where all the guys from Cypress Hill hang, and there was so much people because exactly when he came in, they opened the doors for like the general public, and he just saw me, and I remember he just screamed to me, "Victor," and he grabbed me and gave me a big hug, and that was it. I couldn't even talk to him, and then I remember I went out with Phil to. He said, "Can you want to join me to have a cigarette?" So I was just hanging with him outside the Rainbow, and Josh from Queens of Stone Age came in and also saw me, Victor, and gave me a hug, and he was really sad too, and he said, "I cannot do this," and he just left. You know, he was really sad. A lot of people was really sad. Then when this happened, you know, out of nowhere that Lemmy passed, I was having holiday actually with my daughter in Mexico. And I got a phone call before he passed away saying that, "Hey, Victor, you want to come and say goodbye to Lem? This is what's going on." And then the next day, I know what I mean, the next thing I know is that he passed away. And I basically, you know, I went down to the funeral, but I was, as I mentioned, I was with my daughter. So I left my daughter in Mexico City with my parents. I had never left her before with anybody else than her mom. So I just flew in the day before the funeral, was there in the funeral, and then left back to Mexico right away because I had to go and pick up my daughter. And long story short, after the funeral, I went back to the hotel. Roger, stage manager, and a good friend of mine, stage manager from Motorhead, he drove me to the airport LAX next morning. And so I walk in, you know, to the plane. When I sat down on the plane, and exactly when the plane took off, that's when I started to cry. It kind of hit me, and it was a really, really, really sad moment. But, you know, life goes on, and I'm sure he was laughing about us that we were sad about it. So, you know, poor bastards. That was Clutch, the greatest and best live band you will ever see. And they will be playing in Gothenburg. And from what I heard the other day, there was like only like 50 tickets left. So if you got a ticket, good. If not, losers. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, Clutch is also one of my favorite bands. And I met them through the years. We toured a couple of times with Motorhead. So we became really good friends. And it was a funny story with Clutch. They played the first time I met them here in Gothenburg. I was working at the Metal Town when it used to be at the Bananpiren. And the tour manager for Clutch, Oscar Hernandez, it's another great Mexican. Through the years, he heard about me that I was a Mexican working on this, and I heard about that Clutch had a Mexican tour manager. So we met, and we have heard of each other, and he knew that I was a huge fan of Clutch. I remember I was working at the festival, and I said to whoever I was working with, when Clutch played, don't even look for me. And I remember I had a backpack, and I had a bunch of beer, and I was on the side of the stage with my friend Magnus, and we watched Clutch, and I was supposed to work, and I was drunk as a kite. But that was another story, and that was actually really, really cool. First time I ever saw them play, many years ago. And then through the years, we've been, you know, friends. We had toured together. And then last year, actually, they called me and they needed a guy to do some work with them. So I went out last summer with them, the first beginning of the summer. And it was awesome, you know, to see one of, like, your top three favorite bands of all time play every night. It was, you know, a dream come true. So dreams do come true. Listen to them. They're just awesome. And it's just a great band to just, like, you know, raise hell and drink beer. That was the Mighty Corrosion of Conformity, COC. I want to dedicate that song to my good friend Niklas Engelin, Master Niklas. He loves COC as much as I do, or maybe I love them more. But I know he's a big supporter of Corrosion of Conformity. And the classic lineup is back. And it's another band that I got to meet because of touring, and one of my favorite bands also. That's more or less the songs I've been playing today. Playing you the music that I listen home, that I bother the neighbors with. But I met them through the years. You know, I wouldn't say like we're like the greatest friends, but you know, every time we see each other, we bump into each other. It's a good time. I have been lucky. I have been so lucky. That's what it is. You know, to get to meet all these people, to do my dream, to do what I like. And, you know, just suddenly you're one day, you know, like, I don't know, you know, playing football with your friends. And then the next day you are on private planes or whatever, touring around the world, getting to see also all the stuff that you like and getting to know places that you would only dream about. It's really, really cool. And one of the things that I was talking here with the people at Pirate Rock was that, you know, how many of your idols have you met? And I said, I have met a lot, but there's also many that I would not even like to meet, because to me, my idols, they should stay on the wall, because I might get disappointed, because they are regular people, and they might have a hard day that day. You know, they might not want to know about anything, and it's not that they're rude or anything, but, you know, it's like, they're just human beings like you and me, so... You know, I just think that you should not meet your idols. That's my own opinion. I have been lucky to meet a lot of them, but I have met them in a different situation, you know, because of work, because I had to talk to them, or whatever, you know, because destiny. But, yeah. You flew along the wind. Was a day that I won't forget. Told me you in, and that I will not regret it, but you had a touch as cool as rain, and all at once the weather changed, murder of blue skies. Yeah, I can't wait to never be with you again. So that was Chris Cornell with The Murder of the Blue Skies. That's a song to me, it's a really special. It's a really sad, sad song. It has a lot of, also some personal meaning to me, but Chris Cornell was one of the persons that I got to see many times walking in front of me. For example, I remember we did a show with Motorhead in Hyde Park, 2014, if I'm correct. And it was... Some of my favorite bands in there was like Black Sabbath, was Soundgarden, Faith No More, Motorhead, some other bands. And we were all together backstage, and I saw him walk in front of me. And I saw him in some other times, I also saw him walk by me. And I never dare to say hello to him, because I was a little bit starstruck, yes. But I, you know, what I was going to say to him, you know, and I'm when he passed away, I got really, really sad. It really, I wouldn't say affected me, but it really got me down, because he was such an amazing talent. He did such an amazing music. He put smiles on a lot of people all over the world, probably all over the universe. So I just wanted to, you know, to do a little tribute to him, because that was something that really affected me. And you know, as I said, you know, I got to see him walking in front of me a lot of times. So what do I want to say with that? Is that dreams come true again. So whatever you do, just do what you really like. Don't do what they tell you to do. Do what you really, really, really like. It doesn't matter that you make, you know, no money out of it. As long as you are comfortable and happy, the rest doesn't matter. Seriously, dreams do come true, believe me. And if you want to know a little bit more about me, just I have an Instagram account. It's Lilamex. Lillamex. I basically post a lot of crap, but could be fun. But I want to say thank you to all of you that had the time to listen to me, to listen a little bit of my story. And my name is Victor Marin, and I hope to see you soon or around.